is more like it.
You're listening to WMFO Medford.
Tonight.
only one call away. I'll be there to save the day. Superman got nothing on me. I'm only one call away. Call me baby if you need a friend. I just wanna give you love. Come on, come on, come on. Reaching out to you, so take a chance. No matter where you go, I know you're not alone. I'm only one.
Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday, December the 25th, 2016 edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org, and we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, this Sunday, December 25th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Yes, it's Christmas morning, but I'm here anyway, trying to do my best to give you the sporting news and also some Christmas cheer. And If you wish to converse with me, our phone number is 1-855-915-WMFO. If you like numbers, it's 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. I would certainly love to hear your Christmas Day perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. The number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. Okay, it's 4:15 here in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on the FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. You can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. Although the National Football League was in action yesterday, not a whole lot of other things going on in the world of sports. Let's see, there were no NHL games, there were no NBA games, no men's college basketball, no women's college basketball. So what am I going to do for the next 44 minutes? Well, since we did have NFL games yesterday, they frightened everybody else away, I guess. And if you want to know, and if you're a regular listener, you know that I am in Mortal Kombat. Well, not quite mortal, but I'm in combat with my son, Scott, my grandson, Kyle, and our good friends, Bill and Kenny, picking NFL games during the season. And here we come into the next to last final week, and I am still in first place going into this week. Last week, I came up with add to my total of 145 wins and 77 losses. Scott got back into second place, and Bill had a terrible week. Bill was in second place for a little while, but the altitude, I guess, was too much for him. And he fell back into third place. Scott's in second place, 140 and 82. Bill's in third place, 137 and 85. Kenny's in fourth, 131 and 91. And Kyle, he's not having a great year, 112 and 110. Kyle's been busy doing a lot of other things, so I'll back him up on that one. This week, however, if somebody gets hot, they could catch up to me. Because on Thursday night, I had the Giants over the Eagles, and Eagles won 24-19, making me 0-1 for the week. Then yesterday, I had the Bills over the Dolphins. Final score, Dolphins 34, Bills 31, making me 0-2. But I did have the Patriots over the Jets. That wasn't a difficult pick. Patriots 41, the Jets 3. Make me 1-2 on the week. But then I had the Titans over the Jaguars, and Titans quarterback got hurt. I don't know if that was it, all part of it, but the Jaguars, Jacksonville, pounded the Titans 38-17, making me 1-3. I don't think anybody else picked the Jaguars, but who knows. I had the Packers over the Vikings. And the Packers won 38-25, making me 2-3 on the week. And I was thinking about picking the Browns, but I didn't. And the Browns defeated the Chargers 20-17. I think Michael Wilbon picked the Browns to win the Chargers game about 3 weeks ago or so. And so that made me 2-4 on the season. On the week, that week. I had Washington over the Bears. 41-21 was the score, so I was right there. That made me 3-4. But I had the Panthers over the Falcons, and the Falcons pounded the Panthers 33-16. I had the Seahawks over the Cardinals, and the Cardinals pulled that one out 34-31. But I don't know if it was an upset or not, but I had the 49ers over the Rams, and the 49ers prevailed 22-21. A gutsy two-point call near the end of the game. A two-point play after a touchdown. And the 49ers won their second game of the year. And so there you go. I had the Texans over the Bengals, and that was a correct call. Texans 12, Bengals 10. But I had the Bucks over the Saints, and the Saints prevailed 31-24. I had the Raiders over the Colts, and the Raiders won, but Carr went out with an injury. And so, it may not be so good for the Raiders from here on in. Now, today, I have the Steelers over the Ravens, and I have the Chiefs over the Broncos. And on Monday night, I have the Cowboys over the Lions. So I could go to 9-7 if I can sweep the board, but it's not a guarantee. In that Patriots game, if you're interested, I know you're interested because I don't have much else to tell you. If you're uninterested, don't listen. But anyway, I'm going to tell you what happened in the Patriots game. It was a complete domination. Patriots didn't let up, and the Jets made very little effort to come back. Brady went 17 for 27 passing, 214 yards, and 3 TDs. Julian Edelman had 5 receptions for 89 yards. Jimmy Garoppolo got into the game. He went 1-for-2 for 6 yards passing. Deion Lewis has 52 yards on 16 carries. LeGarrette Blount had 50 yards on 20 carries. He had 2 TDs, however. James White had 14 yards on 1 carry. And Jimmy G carried the ball 3 times for 2 yards. Passing, White had, along with Edelman's, 5 receptions and 89 yards. White had 3 catches for 32 yards and a TD. Mitchell had 3 catches for 29 yards. Hogan, 1 catch for 22 yards. Bennett, 2 catches for 19 yards and a TD. Matt Langle. The story of Matt Langle was he was on the Cincinnati Bengals practice squad, and he got a call, I don't exactly know when, to come and join the Patriots practice squad. And he went from the Patriots practice squad to the rigged for the to the full game roster about 2 games ago, after maybe 3 games ago, after Gronkowski got hurt. And to make a long story short, got into his he played last week. Didn't get it. You know, the ball thrown to him. I think he's about 6'7", 6'8", 260, 70 pounds. He's a monster. But he got his first NFL catch yesterday. It went for 18 yards and a touchdown. I know they're going to be celebrating in the Lengel home this Christmas. Good for him. Michael Floyd, the controversial Michael Floyd, had one catch for 6 yards. Deion Lewis had a catch for 5 yards. James Devlin got a catch, but he didn't get a yard. And on the defensive end, Butler had two interceptions. And Eric Rowe had an interception. And so that was it for the Patriots as they pounded the Jets 41-3. Excuse me. A win next week, and they get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And next week, they are going down to Miami. And that could be a toughie down there. Okay, it's 424 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, December 25th. Yes, it's Christmas morning. Can you believe that? I'm out here working on Christmas morning. But anyway, I'm enjoying it. Hopefully you enjoy it too. This is the Brown Perspective on Sports, December 25th, 2016, the final program for the year 2016 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. 91.5 on your FM dial, on the internet, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I wonder if my taxi driver is out there listening somewhere. Hi, if you are, Merry Christmas. Be back.
B. Smith for the Department of Labor.
Do you have a small business? Would you like a nice, simple way to save money on taxes and boost the morale and productivity of your employees? Start a pension plan. It's a really important benefit that attracts good workers and reduces turnover. More than 1 million small businesses offer retirement savings plans. And to find out just how easy it can be to do something good for your employees and your company, call 1-800-998-7542. Do it now, because saving matters.
And that message was brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown perspective on sports. I can hear people out there listening say, hey, you should have told me that before I started my Christmas shopping, not after I've already done it. Yeah, but saving does matter. So if you are a small business owner, get right into it and see how you can help your people save for their future. 4:28 is the Brown perspective on sports time. The temperature outside our studio right now is 38 degrees. We're going to bring you an in-depth weather update about 6:30 on the Sounds of Praise Ministry. And oh, yeah, if you're going out in the very near future, you're going to have to scrape ice off your car. That's why I was a little late getting here. Had to scrape off the ice so I could see where I was going. And it was pretty thick on it, on there, you know. So, yeah, fair warning if you're leaving. You know, maybe as it warms up later on, maybe it'll melt. I don't think we're getting much sunshine, as I recall the forecast. But anyway, fair warning, bring your scraper if it's not in the car. You're going to need it. 4:29 is the Brown perspective on sports time. This is our Sunday edition, final edition of the year 2016. Like I said, there was not a whole lot of action going on in the sporting world, so I don't have a whole lot of scores to give you. NHL, we're on their break. NBA, no games. No college men's basketball. No college women's basketball. But we do have a few college football scores from this past week, so let her rip. Okay. I didn't write down the bowl games. They really don't matter, I don't think, the names of the games. But Hawaii defeated Middle Tennessee 52-35. Troy defeated Ohio 28-23. Old Dominion defeated Eastern Michigan 24-20. Louisiana Tech defeated Navy 48-45. Saw a little bit of that game. Idaho 61, Colorado State 50. BYU 24, Wyoming 21. Western Kentucky 57, Memphis 31. And Tulsa 55, Central Michigan 10. Those were bowl games that were played this past week. Okay, 4:30 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Darren Lee Brown. Let's go to the Boston Celtics in the NBA. My opinion, for whatever it's worth, of Michael Westbrook has changed dramatically. I just assume from what I saw of him in his previous years in the league that he was just a shooter. You know, he had no conscience. And he thought he was better than Kevin Durant, and he would shoot more than Kevin in some games. But I have changed my opinion of him a little bit. First of all, he is a devastating driver. He can get to the hoop with more power and authority than our own Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah gets in there, but he's such a little guy. He doesn't have that power to bang off people and ward them off with his left hand and do other stuff. Actually, he wards them off with his right hand because he's left-handed. But Westbrook is just, I mean, in the first period of the Celtics' loss on Friday to the Thunder, Westbrook was shut down a little bit in the first period. The Celtics had a game plan where two, maybe even three people would converge on him as he drove to the center of the court, drove down the center of the court. But he would pass out, and this guy Sabonis, whose father, I believe, played a long time ago, he was killing them with outside shots. I think he made 7 straight shots in the first half and wound up with over 20 points. And that kept the Thunder in the game until Westbrook decided he would start driving right and left. And that way it was more one-on-one coverage. And it didn't matter. Avery Bradley couldn't stop him. Jay Crowder couldn't stop him. Marcus Smart couldn't stop him. I don't know if Bill Russell could. A young Bill Russell might have been able to stop him. Russell was 6'9". But anyway, Westbrook just dominated. Plus, he has an excellent 3-point shot. Let me see if I can find the numbers. They were just off the chart as he got another triple-double. He made 13 of 25 shots. That's better than 50%. 14 of 16 from the foul line. 11 rebounds. 11 assists for 45 points, averaging 31.8 points on the season. Now, Sabonis benefited. He got 20 points on 8 for 11 shooting. No foul shots. He didn't drive. He just stood out there, kept popping them. He's a pretty big guy, too, 6'9", 6'10". But he's only averaging 6.6, so the Celtics correctly let him shoot. That was a bad mistake. But anyway, the Celtics, lost by 5. Westbrook got the key shots down the end, and that's all that counted. And, let me give you the Celtics rundown. If you don't know, now you're going to know. Jay Crowder only had 3 points, but he had 5 fouls, probably guarding Westbrook. Johnson, Amir Johnson has 17. Now, if we could get Amir Johnson to do 17 on a regular basis, or even 12 or 13 on a regular basis, he's only averaging 6.6 points per game, the Celtics would be a lot better. Horford got 23 points. He had a foul, flagrant one, called against him that he disputed vigorously. And since Horford is such a, low-key guy, I guess it was a bad call. Bradley had 16 points. That was just 2 points under his average. Thomas got 34. He's averaging 27 points a game. Drebko got 2. Smart got 7. Olynyk didn't score. Now, that's the problem with Kelly Olynyk. Kelly Olynyk's got to be up there 12, 14 points a game when he comes in off the bench. He's playing against the other team's bench. He should do a lot better than that. And until he does, we're going to be hurting. Tyler Zeller came off the bench and got 2 points. Brown got 5 points on 2 for 8 from shooting from the floor. And Terry Rozier hit a 3. And that was it. So, I was going to say in a previous program, I will say it now. The Celtics still need a big man on the inside that can score on a consistent basis. Until then, they're not going to climb up into the upper echelon, as far as I am concerned, this year in the NBA. Saw some college games recently. Louisville, Kentucky, and North Carolina. And there are a lot of big young guys out there who the best of the bunch, I have no clue at this particular point in time. They all look good. You're going to have to, I'll let Danny and his boys determine who the best of the best are when it comes to draft time. But it's not going to happen this year because, I don't think anybody's going to go for Boogie Cousins. Oh, But here we have what I would call the upper echelon of the NBA. Golden State is 27-4. San Antonio, 23-6. Houston, 22-9. Although I don't know if they're upper echelon, but the fact that Harden is scoring and passing the ball is helping. Then there's the world champion, Cleveland Cavaliers, 22-6. And Toronto, 21-8. Now, Houston, 22-9. Memphis, 20-12. We beat them out there. I don't think they're upper echelon, to be truthful, even though they're only two games behind San Antonio. But then I put Boston. Okay, that's some kind of a warning here. I don't know how we respond to that anymore. But anyway, we'll just let it go. But like I said, I put Boston, New York, Milwaukee, Indiana, Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, maybe Washington, Orlando, Sacramento, the Lakers. New Orleans, maybe. Utah. Oh, even Oklahoma City. And the pack. And the Celtics are in that pack. And maybe better play as they improve during the season will move them out of that pack. But they aren't in that upper echelon. And they put the Clippers in there. The Clippers should be up there, I guess, in the upper echelon as well. So, if we can get a good big guy coming out in the draft, next year could be our year. Since we have the Nets pick, and the Nets pick could be number 1, 2, 3, or 4. Based upon their present record. We don't know how the ping pong balls are going to bounce, but that's the way it looks right now. The Nets are 7-22. 76ers are 7-22. Phoenix is 9-21. Dallas is 8-21. And Minnesota is 9-20. So we have some competition for that pick, but hopefully things will go our way. It gets 4:40 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 in your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we're multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, December the 25th, 2016 edition, final edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. 91.5 on your FM dial on that internet at www.wmfo.org. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm host Donnelly Brown. We'll be right back after this break.
At the holiday party, Chris shows the telltale signs of being wasted. He tells his boss the one about the salesman in the talking bar stool. Laughing, he excuses himself to hit the head. He decides a plant will do just fine. Chris misses the plant. Finished, he raids the company fridge and eats 27 deviled eggs while drinking the special punch nicknamed Rocket Fuel. He makes out with Kathy from accounting. He decides to make a funny holiday card. Sitting on the copying machine, Chris laughs hysterically. He writes, "Happy holidays from Stinky the Elf." He then yells, "Office parties are for losers."
It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive, but what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
And also by your friends here at the Brown Perspective on Sports and Sounds of Praise. 4:50 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. This is the final program for the year 2016. Woo! Okay. Here I am on a Christmas Sunday. You want to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636, if you like numbers. Let's go to the Boston Red Sox. I haven't been doing a lot of talking about the Chris Sale acquisition. I like the Chris Sale acquisition. When you've got a rotation of Chris Sale, Rick Porcello, David Price, Wright, the knuckleballer, and Erod, that's a powerful five rotation. And you've got Pomerantz probably going to the bullpen. We're going to have got Carson Smith back from Tommy John surgery sometime during the year. We picked up this guy from Milwaukee who I know nothing about. And then we get our regular closer. And then there have been the other guys that have been there. Ross and my mind skips me because I don't have any stats in front of me. Anyway, that's probably one of the most powerful Red Sox pitching staffs in years. And so, therefore, from a pitching perspective, you know, I think that, we're going to do very well. Toronto has already lost Edwin Encarnacion. They don't seem to be able to make any deal for Bautista. He's still out there testing the market. People are talking about adding a bat to the Red Sox lineup, perhaps. But then again, maybe not. We picked up Mitch Moreland. Moreland is not going to replace David Ortiz all by himself. But we have Pablo Sandoval coming back, supposedly in shape and ready to get back to the stats that he had when we signed him as a free agent out of San Francisco. Can the young guys improve? Xander Bogaerts got off to the really great start, and he cooled down during the after the All-Star break, and still had a very decent year. Mookie Betts, we found out, was playing injured, even though he was putting up big numbers, but he cooled down during the playoffs. And Jackie Bradley had that long hitting streak in the middle of the season, and the question is, have the pitchers caught up to these guys? Will they catch up to these guys, or will these guys continue to improve or at least maintain? If those three guys can hit solidly in the 280s to the 300s, that's it. Dustin Pedroia was healthy. He had a great year. Putting Hanley Ramirez at first base, he not only hit well, but he was a very good defensive first baseman. catching? Well, you know, maybe we were lucky the way our starting catcher hit during the year. But we do have Christian Vasquez. He should be better and improved, at least defensively. Now that he's back a year from Tommy John surgery. But these are guys I want you to look at and I want you to consider. There's Bruce Swihart, a switch hitter. They said that they're going to make him a full-time catcher. Why? I would like to see him get some starts in left field as from the right-hand side of the plate and use Andrew Benintendi against the right-handers. That sounds great to me. And then there's the mystery guy. Who's the mystery guy? Alan Craig. Alan Craig has had two horrible years after being picked up from the Cardinals. But Alan Craig, at one time, was a 300 hitter with the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, he had the foot injury, ankle injury. Took him a year to recover from that. But his bat and swing was out of line. You don't forget how to hit. And I think a well-rested and improved Alan Craig can make the ball club. And make the ball club a better hitting ball club. Now, that puts the strain on guys because he can play first base and right or left field. And also be a DH. That puts the strain on guys like Chris Young. And they would probably want a backup infielder like a Marco Hernandez. But I think it's going to be a great year. I think it's going to be a very good year. You can't have too much pitching. And the trade of Buchholz may be a good thing for him. Get into another area and pitching in the National League where, although he's pitching in a hitters-friendly ballpark out there in Philadelphia. But he doesn't have any DH to worry about, so he might do well. I don't know anything about the guy that they picked up. Some people think he's going to be, a pretty good infielder, maybe a contender for Dustin Pedroia's job down the line. But we'll wait and see. He's a switch hitting second baseman. But anyway, we'll wait and see on that one. Now, we did lose, two top talents in Moncada and the pitcher Drelich, I guess his name. I forget what his name is. But anyway, we did lose two top talents there. Moncada, I'm sure, with the proper, support from his batting coach out there in Chicago, whoever that is, will certainly improve. He was a strikeout machine when he left the Red Sox, and hopefully that didn't ruin his confidence. But he reminded me of a young A-Rod. So if that happens for Chicago, good for them. And the other kid's only 105 miles an hour. But we have two more great prospects deeper down in the minors who may make AA next year. The kid that we signed right out of high school, a left-hander. And we have another right-hander who was doing really well as well. And we still have them. And then there's always picking up people in the draft and whatnot. So, anyways, the rest of us are definitely unafraid to spend money. So we'll see how that goes. So, I look forward to a very good year for the Boston Red Sox. I am not predicting anything. Like I said, Edwin Encarnacion has gone to Cleveland, giving them a big power bat to go along with their pitching. And I think their best player didn't play at all, hardly, last year, out on injury from last year's team. So, Cleveland's obviously going to be a contender. Toronto has dropped. The Yankees, I don't know. They should be in the mix. Baltimore hasn't changed much. They haven't lost too many people, but they haven't added anybody of significance. I don't know what's going to happen with the their outfielder who was a free agent. Haven't heard anything about him. But anyway, we're going to wait and see what happens, and I think I'm looking forward to a very good baseball season. It's 4:59 here on WMFO. Time to put the wraps on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. And once again, I wish you all a Merry Christmas. And I'll be back here next Sunday, January the 1st, with a Happy New Year edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Stay tuned for Sounds of Praise coming your way. We have our Christmas special this year. Entitled, It's More Than Just a Story. You don't want to miss it.